morning, world. This is Exposé 247. So we welcome you again. We're sorry for just running late this morning. Welcome you to another time of refreshing. Just like Peter said, that day. And this is the time of refreshing from the Lord, the acceptable year of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So we're not welcoming you to a feel-good moment. We're not welcoming you to a time of maybe laughter and distressing. Just like we all shared yesterday, we're talking about the peace of God. So if you have not made peace with God, this is time for you to make peace with God. And if you have made peace with God, you need to know the peace of God. And that's what we're talking about in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6-8. We're talking about the peace of God. And this is the peace that we're talking. The peace is beyond, it's not what you can compute on the natural realm of reasoning. And that's why we challenged you yesterday night for you to come to a higher realm of thinking and reasoning. So engaging your mind in this process of the peace. So we're going to continue from where we stopped yesterday. And for other aspects of the prayer and narcissism that we've talked about, there's no way we could do the summary this morning. So you'll do well to go to our Exposé 247 page to listen to all of this. You can find a way of downloading it and listen to all this series and all the other topics we had on prayer. Some people are asking, is the only prayer that we talk about? If you have gone to the page, you have seen some other topics that we talked about. We have some series on foundational principle of who we are in Christ and what Christ is into the church, what the New Testament is and that. Then we went to the Prodigal Father series. You can see we explored that relationship between the father, the elder brother, and the younger brother. Then we got to the knockout season, and we did on Thanksgiving, we did on offering and tithe, and we are on prayer, and there's no way we want to gloss over prayer. So we are going to give you the whole full counsel of God, verse by verse, you know, scripture by scripture. So you will do well to listen to this and like the page, not even liking the video. As you like the video, you like the page, mm-hmm. so that you can get all these things and get every other one that might be coming during the week. We have some test transmission of all our previous episodes will be coming this week. So you go to that page and you like the page, you follow, and you might even put view first. So this morning we're kicking off from where we stop, and we do want to go away straight away, or you want to summarize for our viewers?
Well, viewers, thank you again for tuning into this knockout series. At the moment, we've been going through our stand as Christians in this warfare. And of course, if you don't know or you're not aware that we're in a warfare, it could be that you're sleeping. Because every child of God is born into a warfare. Don't forget the fact that as soon as you become a child of God, as soon as you become a Christian, every of God's enemies become your enemy. That's the point. You've actually switched side to God's side. So you are on against all the enemies of God. And then the Bible then gives us the way out. It says you can be definitely sure that you would make it no matter what. And it says how? It says if you take on the full armor of God. So we've been looking at that. And then currently we're looking at having your feet heated with the readiness of the gospel of peace. That's Ephesians 6:15. And that's what we are currently exploring in the scriptures. And today we are looking at a different dimension of this peace, the weapon of peace, the armory of peace. And then I would invite you quickly to join us from where we stopped yesterday as we begin to explore this new dimension of peace, which is the third armory, the third item in our armory. Now quickly, let's go back to Philippians 4, which is where we stopped in our last transmission. I would then kickstart from verse 8, which seems to be the verse that we actually stopped with. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Now, again, like she did talk about yesterday, we made a recourse to Philippians chapter 4, and I think we started from verse 4, 5, 6 yesterday. We said something. The Bible says, don't be anxious for nothing. So we didn't see that yesterday what the enemy uses to target us. The reason why the scripture encourages the believer to take on the full armor is not because it's a kind of show. This is not something for decoration. This is for survival. It's saying that things are going to come at you from the enemy of God. He will throw things at you. He will throw schemes at you. And if you're going to survive those things, you need to have the full armor. So we saw yesterday that anxiety is what he throws at the believer. And the Bible says the thing that can become a defense mechanism for you and I against this anxiety is peace. And then we saw that yesterday. But see what it says from today. Now look at this verse. We just finished verse what? Verse 8. And it says, there are things you need to think upon. Now it says, even there's one thing that actually points out in this verse 8. It says, anything of good report. think on business. It means there are lots of bad reports out there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, many people are expecting good reports to come from the newspapers. Mm-hmm. You're expecting Google to give you a good report. You're expecting Facebook to give you a good report. So you're looking at it into the wrong place. You're looking for peace in the wrong places. It says, well, one of the reasons why people have anxiety disorder, the reason why Christians could fall apart in anxiety is because of the kind of report you are listening to. It says, whatever things are what? A good report. You've got to hijack good reports. And we know where the good report is. You can't find it there in the news. The Bible simply tells us in Isaiah, when he was prophesying about Jesus prophetically, he said, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall walk before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He simply said, you know what? Jesus, the gospel of Christ Jesus, he said, is the report. And he says, unless you meditate and think what? On these things, you've actually, the armory at your feet level, your peace, the having your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace is going to elude you. It says, anything of good report, think on these things. So, and then look at verse 9, which is where we actually have to zero in on something. Look at verse 9. So it means a believer, you've got to think on things. And the Bible says, not bad report, not what is happening. You have to think of things that are of good what? Of good report. Meditate on those things. Hijack your thinking from the hand of the enemy. Don't outsource your thinking. We mentioned that yesterday. Look at verse 9. This is where we are going to zero on today. It says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Now, it says, do. Now, if you notice the movement of this apostolic instruction from verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4, you would notice it started with saying prayer with supplication and with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God will guide your heart and mind. You know, you don't use the word guide unless you're going to protect somebody against something. It is going to protect you against anxiety. Now, he goes from there and then moves and shifts from prayer, and he's talking about thinking. Now, he goes from the realm of the spirit, and then he began to talk about the soul, the mind, about thinking. And then he goes beyond thinking in verse 8, and then he goes to verse 9, talking about doing. Now, please, I want you to follow us slowly as we look at this. So here was from verse 6 of Philippians 4. It was talking about praying, supplication with thanksgiving. It's in the realm of the spirit. And it says, take it beyond there and begin to think on things of good report. And it said, take it beyond what? Thinking of good report. Let's talk about you what? Acting out. Now, can you look at verse 9? It said, the things that you have learned, the things you have received and heard and seen me do, and what? It said, those things what? Do. Now, it would mean then the reason why in the long run so many people are acting wrong, or where people just do things that are not consistent with the truth of the gospel, majorly first starts from how we think about it. But look at what it says next. Watch the next phrase. And the God of peace shall be with you. How do you repeat that? And, you know, we use the word and, it's simply saying, well, do you want the God of peace to be with you? Now, let's say this so that we don't get this wrong in the truth of the gospel. Now, you see, there's nothing that you can do or will do to make God to be with you. Now, let's say that because Hebrews chapter 13, God said, I will never leave you and not forsake you. It means God is committed to you, not because of you, but because of Christ Jesus that you have received. God is only committed to his son in your life. The Bible says God has given us life. And that life is in his son. So God is committed to you because of Christ. We're not talking about that level because that's true. But what the scripture is simply saying, and that's why the peace is called the fruit of the spirit. You have the spirit of Christ in you. So naturally, you watch the word. It calls peace the fruit, not the tree of the spirit. And this is the reason. Because the peace of God, the goodness of God, the joy of the spirit, everything is loaded in you. But it's a fruit because even though you have the tree, you have to what? Produce the fruit. It's simply saying here, if you want the God of peace to be with you, if you want to produce the result of peace in your life, it says you would have to just go into the realm of what? It says what? Praying and then thinking, then what? Acting. It said the God of peace will be with you. Now, I want to highlight that word, and. You know what the word and means? Means if you don't go through this procedure, you would not see the God of peace show up in your life. So I don't just want to have the peace of God in my spirit. I want the God of peace to what? To show up. And it tells us the procedure. It says what? you're going to have to pray with thanksgiving, and you have to think on good report, and then go beyond that and act out what the word of God says, and the God of what? Of peace shall what? Be with you. Now, the question that you're asking is, and then what's the difference? What difference does it make? Well, it makes a lot of difference, because you will soon see, like she said when we started, there's a big difference between you having peace with God and you having the what? The peace of God. Can you see that your prayer and supplication with thanksgiving guarantees you what? The peace of God. But it says, well, if you go beyond that and start thinking of good report and you start acting out the word, then you can have the God of peace showing up in your situation. Now, we're going to look at the implication of this God of peace. And we're going to look at that in different parts of the scripture. Follow us quickly. So let's go on to different parts of the scripture, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Don't forget, we're looking at where is the Apostle Paul going with his instruction. Where does this God of peace come in? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. You can read that, please.
And the very God of peace.
Now again, here we have the God of peace showing up now. What will he do?
Sanctify you wholly.
Sanctify you wholly, completely. A complete sanctification. Go on, please.
And I pray God, your whole spirit.
Okay.
And soul.
Okay.
And body. Be preserved.
You can see that. Be preserved what?
Blameless.
So here we see it. He says, I'm praying that the God of peace will show up in your situation. So I will tell you how the God of peace shows up. I'm praying that your spirit, whatever is in your spirit, you know, for many Christians and for those who are born again, the reality is the Bible says if anybody is in Christ, is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're a Christian, God cannot improve on what he has done in you through Christ Jesus, his son. All things have become new. That's not a problem. The problem that people have in the Christianity, in the kingdom of God, is everything that God did in our spirit. The Bible says if anybody is joined with the Lord, is one spirit with him. Everything God has done in our spirit is not being processed into our minds. That's why you see Christians who have peace of God in them, still having anxiety in their minds, still having trouble in their mind, still having confusion in their mentality, even though they are a new creation in Christ Jesus in their spirit. So here's the Apostle Paul saying, I'm praying for you that the God of peace will show up in your situation. I'll tell you how it's going to happen. That what is in your spirit, that even though your spirit has been sanctified, I'm praying that your soul will become a replica of your what? Of your spirit, that you'll be sanctified completely, not partially. You see, what happens is when the God of peace has not shown up, when someone has not begun to what? Act, think, and do according to the word, what happens is even though they have the peace with God and they have the peace in their spirit, what happens is they have what we call a partial sanctification. I use that word. It says what? If you want to be sanctified completely, I pray that your spirit, your what? Your soul, eventually, what is even your what? Your body, even your very actions, even your very experience every day, you see, will begin to show this peace. That's why anytime you talk about the God of peace, we are talking about even God manifesting your body. That's why I pray that your spirit, soul, and what? And your body, that your daily experience, that your daily encounters will reveal and magnify and show forth God. Now, we will begin to see a second testimony in the scriptures of this God of peace. So we are going beyond just having peace with God. We're talking about the God of peace taking over. And that is God manifest, spirit, soul, and body. Not just locked up in our spirit man. And that's what he was talking about in that Philippians 4:6. And we consider in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. That the God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. That God is revealed and manifest, spirit, soul, and body in your life. And that's what we've been talking about since yesterday. And then that's the second testimony we do have. You want me to see the other? Yeah. Good. Now, let's look at the third testimony. We are going somewhere. Please follow us quickly. Third testimony, we'll look at that in Romans 16. Romans 16, please. Romans chapter 16. The God of peace. Peace as a weapon. The God of peace. Now, Romans chapter 16. Yeah, verse 20. You can read that, please.
And the God of peace.
Okay, now again, the God of peace. The God of peace, that's when it takes over. Now, what happened? What will the God of peace do then?
Shall bruise Satan.
Okay.
Under your feet shortly.
Have you noticed that from our last transmission, we were talking about peace merely as a defense mechanism against anxiety. And this was what the Apostle Paul did when he started Philippians chapter 4. But it seems that the Apostle Paul then switched in the midst and says, well, if you think on these things I'm talking about, and if all the things you learn and receive of me, if you do them, he said, you and the God of peace shall be with you. And then here we then see the reason. We're going to see the very first reason where the Apostle Paul said, I'm leading you onto a journey beyond having the peace of God to having the God of peace showing up in your life. He said, the reason is this. When the God of peace shows up, you see Satan literally getting crushed under your feet. And you are asking the question, how come we thought that Satan was crushed already at the cross? We thought Satan was destroyed already at the cross. That's true. But don't forget the Bible's in Revelation that serpent, that old serpent that deceives what? The old world was cast down to the lake of fire. It would mean that his ministry of deception that is still at work today. Can I repeat that slowly? Satan has been destroyed. The power of the enemy has been consumed at the cross, according to Colossians 2:15. But the ministry of Satan's deception is still at work today. And the Bible says, well, what will happen is Satan will literally, with all his deceptive mechanism, be crushed under your feet. But it will happen when the God of peace shows up in your life. And that's what we're seeing there. That peace is not just a defense mechanism. It's a weapon to crush and pull down everything the enemy is bringing against your life. Now, let's see something. Again, so we've seen the purpose of this God of peace. We've seen the reason why the God of peace shows up. It shows up to crush, to put under everything that the enemy is bringing at you. And what are those things? If you follow us in previous transmission, we said those things are schemes and antics of the devil. Now let's go quickly to Genesis. That's where we begin to bring this to fore. Let's go to Genesis. It means there is something that happens in you and around your life that has effect on your environment. That's what we're trying to look at. That's what we're trying to look at today. There's something that happens in you, the God of peace that shows up in your life, that crushes, that puts in check things around you, puts in check the ministry of the devil, ministry of deception in your life. He puts them in check. He said, and the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet shortly. He says, continue to walk the process. Continue to process the peace. And as you do that, you will see that shortly, Satan will be crushed under your feet. Now, Genesis chapter 3. Now, this is where we're going to go. Now, Genesis 3, you can read from verse... today, a lot of Christians believe the fact that we can pray and declare and speak forth so that we can actually destroy whatever the devil is doing against our lives. But the Bible gives us a way out. It says, see, when the God of peace shows up, Satan will literally be crushed under your feet. So our problem as well is not with Satan. It's the God of peace showing up in our lives. Genesis 3, let's look at that. Now, Genesis 3, I wanted to read it from verse 16. Okay, from verse 15. Genesis 3, 15.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman.
Okay, now the background. We all know the background of this particular situation. The background is man has fallen with his wife, and then they've actually ate of the fruit that God said they should not eat from. And then the partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They partook of that tree. And this is what happened before the Lord God shows up in this situation. Now watch this. What does it say then? Verse 15, yes.
And between thy seed and our seed.
Okay.
He shall bruise thy head.
Okay.
And thou shalt bruise his
head. Well, this happened at the cross, at Calvary. Now go on, verse 16.
Unto the woman he said.
Okay.
I will greatly multiply thy sorrow.
Okay.
And thy conception.
Okay.
In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children.
Okay.
And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
Okay. Look at verse 17. Now I want you to take that slowly. Now, viewers, I need to watch this. Look at verse 17, Genesis 3, 17.
And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it.
Okay.
Cursed is the ground for thy sake.
Now, I know people normally do end up saying that God cursed Adam. And now you might be wondering, why are we in Genesis 3, 17? We're talking about the God of peace, when the God of peace shows up in your situation. Now, people talk about the fact that God cursed Adam. Have you noticed that the man wasn't cursed? If you notice that, I wanted to slowly read it. If you have your Bible there, I wanted to just follow us so that you can get grips with what we are sharing this morning. The Lord God did not curse the man. All the Lord God said is, the Bible says the Lord God cursed the ground for the sake of man. So what the Lord was saying is, Adam, something has fallen apart in your life, and because of your situation, Adam, something has happened to the ground because of you. We'll repeat that slowly. So God is saying, you might want to say, what God told Adam was an announcement, as it were. An announcement of a situation. An announcement of an event. That's what God brought to Adam. So God said, Adam, I will tell you this situation. Because of you. Because something has fallen apart in you. Because Adam, there seemed to be no agreement anymore with your spirit and your soul. That's why God told Adam, who told you were naked. Adam, you've fallen apart. Adam, there's a disconnection in you. And because of you, the ground is cursed because of you. So what God told Adam was simply an announcement. So you might want to say, the ground, the situation of the ground, was just a reflection of Adam's situation. Now, it's important that you as a believer understand this. If you understand this, you understand the power of redemption. You understand the reason why the Apostle Paul spoke to the Philippians, that I'm praying that the God of peace. You know, you might be wondering, why is he talking about the God of peace? He says somebody should not be anxious for nothing. I'm going back to Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing. And I said, the reason why you shouldn't be anxious for nothing is because if you pray with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you will have what? The peace of God. And why do you need to have the peace of God? The reason is, I don't want your heart and your life to be a reflection of your circumstances. And I want your circumstances to be a reflection of your life. I'll take that. That's why he said here that the problem of humanity started, the problem of the whole world started when the ground, when the land became a reflection of our lives. So he said, Adam, the ground is cursed for your sake. So Adam, if the ground is unproductive, if thorns and thistles are coming from what? The ground. Adam is a reflection of your life. Adam, your circumstances is a reflection of your current situation. He said the ground is cursed for your sake. Now please take that. Now I want you to follow us with this. What is it, Adam? Now go on, please.
Cursed is the ground for thy sake.
Can you see that? The ground is cursed for your sake. The ground is not blessed because you are not blessed. The ground is going to be unproductive because you were unproductive. Now go on, please.
And sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life.
Go on, please.
Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee.
Go on, please.
And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In thy sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Till thou return unto the ground.
Okay.
For out of it was thou taken.
Now, that's fine. Now, for the sake of a theological analysis, let's summarize. Work. We're not talking about work in this case. Because we talk about the fact that God spoke to us and says that we have to work, and out of the sweat we shall eat. Well, that is not a blessed thing to say. Work preceded the fall. So before Adam fall, God gave man an assignment. In fact, God told him to till the what? To till the ground, and that didn't happen after the fall. God told Adam to till the ground before the fall. It means work as a principle was given by God before there was a fall. Of course, that's why the Bible says we should work. Without working, we shouldn't eat. But what happens is the unproductiveness of the land and the bringing forth of the thorns and thistles and the sweating and the toil of the land, Bible says that was a reflection of Adam's what? Situation. So we see that the ground was a reflection of his condition. Now that's the very first thing we see. Now we're talking about the peace of God. Now if you are praying as a Christian and you are declaring and speaking the word of God and you're in the place of prayer trying to cause a change in your situation, don't forget that right from the beginning of Genesis, the Bible says the reflection of life, that what we see in life, what we see in the environment, is just our condition. Now, again, I want us to look, we're trying to build up something to this God of peace that we're looking at. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Look at Psalm chapter 1 from verse 1. So, circumstances and life, as it were, is a reflection of man's condition. Psalm chapter 1, let's see another testimony to that. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. You can read Psalm chapter 1.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth it meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Now watch that. It's talking about the condition of the man. Can you see that? the condition of the man, the state of the man now. He's not said anything yet about the man's condition. He said, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man. So you see, about the man, about the man, about the man, about the man. This is all about the man now. So go on, please. Still about the man. Go on.
But his delight is in the law.
Still
the Lord.
About the man.
And in his law doth he meditate.
Still about the man.
And he shall be.
He shall be, yeah.
Like a tree.
Huh?
Planted by the rivers of water.
Still about the man.
That bringeth forth his fruit in his season.
Still about the man.
His leaf also shall not wither.
Still about the man.
And whatsoever he does shall prosper.
Can you see that? Can you see that? He's saying that whatever the man does shall be a reflection of what is on him, what is on his life. You see, this is the reason why we've gone to Genesis 3:17 to show you by the scriptures that if you are trying to cause a change, because and cause is changing your situation, you need a God of peace to show up. And why is that? Because your circumstances and things around you, right from Genesis, has always been a reflection of what is upon your life. And in the case of Adam, we saw that 3:17, that the Bible says the ground was cursed for his sake. And here we see another testimony in Psalm chapter 1 that tells us, because the man is blessed, whatever the man lays his hand upon to do shall what? Prosper. There's something upon the man that reflects upon what he does. Now we see that. Now we're going somewhere with this. That's what Psalm chapter 1 says. Now look at the third testimony, Psalm 82 verse 5. Psalm 82, 5. Well, by the time we look at all these testimonies, we can then build up, coming back to Philippians chapter 4, to see why we're talking about the God of peace that crushes Satan under our feet. Psalm 82, verse 5, you can read as well. What does he say then, please?
They know not, neither will they understand.
Okay, now they don't understand, okay?
They walk on in darkness.
They walk on in darkness.
All the foundations of the head are out of course.
Yes, please.
Verse 6.
Now, it says, look at that. They walk on in darkness. They are the ones walking in darkness. And what? It says the foundation of the earth are what? Out of course. They walk on in darkness. The foundation of the earth reflects their own confusion. The situation of humanity, the situation of the environment is a reflection of what they are experiencing. The last testimony before we go back to Philippians 4. Now go to book of Romans chapter 8 verse 19. Romans chapter 8 verse 19. This is the reason why we must use peace as a weapon. Now, Romans 8:19, what does it say?
Thou will say then unto me.
Romans chapter 8, are you there?
Yes, verse 18. Okay. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy.
Okay.
And whom he will, he hardened.
Yeah, go on, please.
Verse 19. Thou will say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will?
Okay.
Verse 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repairs against God?
Yeah, shall you can go to verse 22.
What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known...
Are you in chapter 8? Romans chapter 8 or chapter 9?
Oh, sir.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. You can read that.
8:22.
Yes, please.
For we know that the whole creature groaneth.
Okay.
And travaileth in pain together until now.
Now he says, all of creation. All of creation. Now think about creation. Think about anything you can think about in terms of creation. Everything as in creation is in trouble up to now. Why are they in trouble? What does it say next, please?
Verse 23.
It says all of creation is in trouble. And it's going to tell you why they're in trouble.
And not only they.
Not only they.
But ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit.
Go on, please.
Even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Okay. Now, if you go to verse 19.
10, yeah.
Yeah, verse 19. What does it say then? Romans 8:19.
For the earnest expectation of the creature.
Now, it says for the earnest expectations of creation.
Waited for the manifestations of the sons of God.
Now, why are they waiting for the manifestation of God's sons? Go on. What's the next?
Verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity.
Okay.
Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope.
Okay, now, what do you see then? He's saying, well, the reason why creation is in trouble is not because of creation. He said creation is what? Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What that means is, creation at the moment, all of creation, at the moment, the reason why they're in bondage is because the sons of God are yet to manifest. He said, if the sons of God manifest, creation will be liberated from the bondage to decay.
Yeah, now, verse 21 was saying that because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Can you see that? So creation is in bondage because the sons of God are not manifesting themselves. And as soon as the sons of God manifest themselves, creation will be liberated. When we say creation, we're talking in context about everything about the environment. And that's the reason why you notice, if you go out there today, everything decays. And so the reason why that's happening is, until we completely receive the redemption of our bodies, until we are completely liberated, it's a creation will not be liberated. Now, let's come back to this. Let's tie all this up. He's simply saying that, as it were, your environment, your condition, the things that you are doing, everything about your circumstances, they are the ones, that whatever you see in your circumstances, says they are a reflection of what is upon your life. Why are we talking about this today? Why does this connect with the issue of peace? This is the reason. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. So we've seen four testimonies in the scriptures. Genesis tells us. Romans tells us. We've seen this also in Psalm chapter 1. We've seen this also in Psalm 82 verse 5. And all these four verses are simply saying that what is happening about humanity today, what is happening to the ground today, what is happening to the circumstance of humanity today, is a reflection of what is upon our lives. Now let's go back to Philippians chapter 4 and begin to tidy all this up in context. Now, what does it say there? I want to read from verse 4 again. Now, let's take Philippians chapter 4 from verse 4. Let's now run it all through with this new understanding we have about this piece of God. What does it say there?
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Yeah, from verse 6. Is that verse 6, please?
It's in verse 4. Okay, yeah. Verse 6.
Yes.
Be careful for nothing.
Be careful for nothing.
But in everything.
Don't forget that this nothing are your circumstances. It says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about nothing. It would mean that don't let your life be a reflection of your circumstance. Your circumstances are not the one driving you around. That's the point. Don't forget that we did say that God told Adam that the ground is a reflection of you. He said the ground is cursed for your sake. Here he's saying to you and I that no, it is wrong for your life to be a reflection of your what? Circumstances. Don't be anxious for nothing. Don't be careful for nothing. Don't fall apart because things are falling apart. Now, he's trying to tell us something about this peace. Now, go on, please. So, simply put, don't fall apart because things are falling apart. Don't let your life be a reflection of your circumstances. Go on, please.
But in everything.
In everything.
By prayer and supplication.
Yes.
With thanksgiving.
Yes.
Let your request.
Good.
Be made known unto God.
Okay, what's going to happen?
And the peace of God.
Good.
Which passeth all understanding.
Amen.
Shall keep your hearts and mind.
Okay.
Through Christ Jesus.
Now, go on, then.
Finally, brethren.
Finally.
Whatsoever things are true.
Okay.
Whatsoever things are honest.
Yes, please.
Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure.
Yes.
Whatsoever things are lovely.
Yeah.
Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue. If there be any praise. Think on these things.
Good. Now, you know, a casual reader of this Philippians 4 will have thought, he says, well, when things are happening around your life, just try to insulate yourself with peace. Don't bother about them. You can't change anything. You cannot influence your circumstances. Now, that's not exactly what he's saying. He's simply saying, I'm asking you not to be a reflection of your what? Situation. Because I want your situation to be a reflection of you. That's why he says, and the God of peace, the peace of God will guide your heart and what? And your mind. And he goes on to say, and the God of peace shall what? Be with you. And Romans 16:20 tells us when the God of peace shows up, then things will begin to get crushed. Everything of the devil around you will start to get what? Crushed. He's saying that the reason why you cannot afford that your life, your thinking, your lifestyle will be a reflection of your circumstances is because I want your circumstances to be a reflection of you, not the other way around. That's why he ended up with the God of what? Peace that will crush Satan under your feet. And so it means as Christians, as much as we are focused in binding, in losing, in casting, in throwing down, that's not the main issue. The main issue is the scripture says in Genesis that your circumstances will always be a reflection of what is upon your destiny. It means then, he's saying if the peace of God is guiding your what? Your heart and mind through Christ what? Jesus, the God of peace, will crush Satan under your feet. It means your circumstances will end up being a reflection of that which has come into your heart, which is the peace of God and not the other way around. And that's what they're simply saying there.
Yes, among many other things that have been shared today, I hope we will not lose sight of this revelational insight telling us about what peace of God and the peace with God means. Because some people, they have actually made peace with God, you know, they have been reconciled unto God, but they have not come to this other level of living, having the peace of God. So they have peace with God. You can see today that there is a difference with that. You have made peace with God at Calvary, but you don't have the peace of God. Because you see, in Philippians 4:18, you are a circumstantial Christian. So you are being tossed. When the situation is high, then you are high. When things are rather low, then you are low. And then you have a lot of things taking your attention, and you are thinking about what to eat, like we shared yesterday, what to put on, and all the cares of the life, all the normal things that takes people's attentions and take their mind, and they overcharge with all these things. Not just because there are things that happens that everybody thinks about, but being overcharged by them. You know, we are not just saying you remove yourself from the situation or become irresponsible, or you know, or abscond from your responsibilities, and that's not what. Be overcharged by those things. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them, knows that you need to go by all those things, but being overcharged, we saw that thinking, and that is what is calling us today to even understand that peace, that you can come to that Christian walk in which, apart from having peace with God, you are able to live having the peace of God with you. And then today we were able to see that this peace can be, is both instrument of defense and offense. Before, people always think that it's just for just defense alone. So just to keep yourself at bay and keep calm and then working in you and then to stay calm and stay in charge. But we saw that the Lord can use it as an instrument of offense, in which he was saying that bruising the Satan, then the God of peace himself can use that same, the peace, to crush whatsoever that is satanic in your life. So we can see that peace, that what we're talking about, sharing about peace, is something you need to pay attention to and know that it can be both as an instrument of offense and of defense. And then again, we have a new revelation insight. I hope you got that from today, to know that you don't need to run away from the circumstances. Some people are traveling from another place and say, oh, this place is really like this, it's messed up, and I have to go, I have to move away from this society, I have to run away from this culture and all those kind of things. We find that you are in charge of this, just what you have found in the book of Genesis chapter 3. What we find is Psalm 1, you are in charge of what? Your environment is a reflection of what is, you can make your environment a reflection of what is inside of you. So you can actually change. Just we saw what happened to Hagar, that the environment was what? The environment was caused because of what it was for. He fell apart.
His condition. He fell apart.
So that is the thing. So we are just telling you, you are responsible for your position. You might look so sharp and something, but that is the truth of God's word. You are responsible for how your environment is. So if the environment is caused, you cause the cause. Let's put it that way. And that's why you can see the contrast in Psalm chapter 1. Because the man is blessed. Everything around him is blessed. So he said that he lived to...
Everything was a reflection of what was on him.
Inside. Because he had the peace of God. You see, even the trees, they bring forth, you know, seasons, and you see blossoming, you see those fruits and everything blossoming around him. So telling us, and that Romans 8 was telling us that we are in charge of what happens, so we are actually responsible. So the peace process we are calling you to, that you might just feel like, oh, do I want to participate? Do I really need to take this serious? You need to take this serious because you are responsible for what is happening around you. What is inside of you gets reflected on what is happening around you. And so if you really want to change what is happening around you, you need to change what is inside of you. And that brings us back to what Philippians 4, the opening chapter on peace, is about. That you don't allow what is outside of you to come in. You really need to work on this. You really need to work, and you have the advantage to work on the inside of you. And when you can get the peace of God inside of you, then everything around you will change. We embrace that peace of God that is inside of you. So we are leaving you with our responsibility today to understand that you have the responsibility to change what is around you. So you need not run away and say, no, some I feel like the only thing they can do when they see things around them is to run away from it. So we see the creatures, everything is waiting, is in bondage with what is inside of you. So you need to release today. You mm-hmm. need to release things around you. You need to release your circumstance from the bondage. You need to release that situation that is waiting on you. So we are telling you that those things are waiting on you. Those factors you want to run away from are actually waiting on you. That if you are going to absorb the peace of God, if you are going to get into this peace that we are talking about, so that you can release.
Amen.
The creatures around you will be released.
Now it will seem to us by the scriptures, Philippians 4 verse 9. Now, please, I want to take this again.
Yeah.
It says, Philippians 4 9, the B part of it, it says, and the God of peace shall be with you. It would sound then that by the scriptures, it seems that we are taking away an opportunity from God.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, can you see? It seemed that the Apostle Paul, from verse 6 of Philippians 4, was talking about the peace of God shall guide your what? Heart and mind. It would then seem that the Apostle Paul had an apostolic strategy. And it says, when all these things fall in place, and the God of peace that shall be with you. It means, it's simply saying, if we allow anxiety, and we are the one driven around by the circumstances, and we're the one being flung around by the circumstances, what happens is we take away the opportunity for the God of peace to show up and crush the circumstance. Can you see that? So it means then, what the Apostle Paul had in mind was both a defense and offensive mechanism at the same time. He said, the reason why I'm asking you to guard your heart and mind against anxiety by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving is because I want you to give the opportunity for the God of peace. He used the word and, the God of peace. You only use the word and in conjunction. So simply say, well, if you didn't work in what I told you from chapter 4, from verse 4 to verse 8, you make verse 9 very hard. And the God of peace shall what? Show up. And we see what that God of peace does. It means it would put everything in check around your life. But then don't forget, your life will ultimately, it's a matter of time, be a reflection of the state of your what? Of your heart, the state of your soul. If you're in turmoil, if you're confused, your environment, everything around you will pick up your particular status. And that's why every child of God must give God of peace the opportunity to show up. So don't forget, like we said, there's a peace with God. There's a peace of God. And there's a God of peace giving the opportunity to show up in the situation. Now, let's go quickly and see some other things to clarify this. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians 10. It's a very popular verse that we normally read. I think verse 4, verse 6. See what it says. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You can read from verse 5 and 6 because of time. What does it say there?
From 4.
5, from verse 5.
Okay. Casting down.
Yes.
Imagination.
Well, that's about your soul. That's about your heart. Can you see? Okay.
And every high thing
okay.
that exalted itself against the knowledge of God.
Yes, please.
And bringing to captivity
again
every thought.
That's about anxiety, confusion, making sure you put everything in check, that the peace of God reigns in you.
To the obedience of Christ.
Why do you have to do this? Look at next verse.
And having in the readiness.
Okay, don't forget yesterday we read Ephesians 6:15, the readiness of the gospel of peace. Readiness to do what?
To revenge.
To put everything in check. Can you see that? Can you see?
All disobedience. When your obedience is
fulfilled. It means we're not ready yet. We're not ready yet. We're not ready to put things in check. Because God is saying, I would guarantee that your circumstance reflects your situation. That's the guarantee of the God of peace. The God of peace has a guarantee. He said, if you are at peace, I would guarantee that everything around you going crazy will fall in line. You'll be ready to punish every word disobedience. Once you're what?
Obedience.
And if you notice, if you're wondering what kind of obedience he's talking about, because when we say obedience, people have this kind of strange notion about somebody saying yes, I bowed down my head, looking pious and all that. Well, he told us in verse 5 and verse 4 what disobedience is. He said, well, you can't afford to have crazy. He said, you bring into what? Captivity, every thought. There is nothing about confusion, anxiety and all that going about in your mind. He said, that cannot happen. He said, well, if you do that and lay charge of that, then leave the God of peace. Give him room to show up. Give him room to put every disobedience in check in your life. So we see this place where he tells us why we need to have this peace of God at work in our life, so that the God of peace can have the opportunity to put Satan in check all around our lives. And again, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. So we see peace as both a defense mechanism and an offensive mechanism when he allows the God of peace to show up. Hebrews 12, you can read from verse 14. What does it say?
Follow peace with all men.
Okay.
And holiness.
Now follow peace with all men. and what?
Holiness.
And holiness. Now, I know when we see this, again, it says people, we talk about holiness in this case. Please, again, you need to read this in context. It has to be contextual. Don't forget that we said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, and the God of peace shall sanctify you wholly, completely. May your spirit, your soul, your body be kept blameless. I'm just saying it should not be in your spirit. It will come out in your soul, your mind, your will, emotion, reflecting your action in your body. He says, the reason I tell you that, because I want a complete process. I don't want something to be locked up. The peace with God in your spirit. I want the peace of God to show up in your mind so that the God of peace can show up in your body. I'll say that again. I want the peace that you had with God when you gave your life to Christ in the spirit. I want it to show up in your mind. How? I want the peace of God to guide your what? Heart and mind. And also, I want it to go beyond that. That's why it says, in what you do. That's Philippians 4:8. So that it will show up in your body. He said, I'm praying. That's why. Can you notice that? He says here, follow peace with all men and with what? Holiness. I want whatever is in your spirit to be a complete reflection in your soul, in your mind, and in your body. And holiness. Now look what he says next. Without which,
no man shall see the Lord.
Even though this is not what we are focusing on today, but I think it's a good point to raise this issue. No man shall see the Lord. I know people think, well, he's talking in this case about unless you dress in a certain way or talk in a particular way or act holy, you will not be able to see God. Well, if that's the case, then nobody will be born again. Let me say that to you. Because the Bible says, while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. There is nothing you can do. There's nothing anybody can do. There is no sinner on this planet at the moment that can put God off. In fact, the Bible says we never deserve the goodness of God. We were still stuck sinners, but yet Christ died for the ungodly. So are you simply saying that if you saw God show up in coming to you in salvation, even though you were dirty and rotten, and are you now saying that you then need to have a level of, as it were, I call it some type of holiness so that you can see God? Well, that will be contradictory to the scripture. How did I know that? Look at the next verse. What are you saying in the next verse?
Looking diligently.
Okay.
Lest any man fail of the grace of
now,
God.
Now, have you seen? It says follow peace with all men. He was talking about what you do with all men. So when he says no man shall see the Lord, it says unless you follow peace with all men, unless you are at peace with all men, it will be hard for those men to see the Lord in you. I mean, this is not hard to interpret because people just interpret other context. If you don't believe what that means, go to the next verse. Again, he's saying the same thing. Look at the next, what is in the next verse?
Looking diligently.
Lest what?
Any man.
Lest any man. He's talking about how you help others. Can you see that? So when he says, follow peace with what? All men and holiness. If you don't, what happens is they will not see the Lord in your actions. They will not see the Lord in your attitude. They will not see the Lord in what you are doing. It's not talking about you seeing the Lord. It's talking about those men I told you to follow peace with. If you don't follow peace with them, they will not be able to see the Lord in you. You will not be a good testimony to them. That's what he's talking about.
Because it's not the other part of the thing was saying, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
It's talking about others. It's not talking about God being put off because you are not 100% perfectly holy. Because I think we need to clarify that so that we don't take the scriptures out of context. Now, again, we are going somewhere today. I just have to digress on that so that we don't misinterpret that kind of scripture. So when people say, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, you are not quoting that scripture for the Lord. You are quoting that scripture for people. If you don't follow peace with them, if you are at war with them, how can they see the Lord in you? So that's what that means. But again, that's not our focus. Now, what the next verse says, now see the reason why it says you need to actually walk in peace. Why you need to get to a point where you're thinking out the implication of the gospel, where you're not falling apart, where you are actively thinking, and where you're not allowing anxiety to take hold of your life. What it says next, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby what? Many be defied. You can see what it's simply saying here, that there is something that we do. There's the peace of God that reigns in your heart, that allows the God of peace to show up in your circumstances, that it has effect even on people around you. It causes changes in the lives of people. It causes shifts in people around you. So we can see then that peace, as it were, is not just to protect you, it's meant to cause influence around you. So he's saying, if you follow peace with all men and with holiness. What's going to happen is men will see the glory and the power of God in your life. And what happens is you are able to even help people. You're able to cause changes around your life. So here we see this at work again. Now, can you read that verse 17 again, please? Verse 15.
Looking diligently,
yes, please.
Lest any man fail of the grace of God.
Lest any man fail of the grace of God, yes.
Lest any root of bitterness.
So he's saying that if we are working in this peace, it would even guarantee that others around us will not fail to access what? God's grace for their own destiny. And they will not fail to access the goodness of God for their own lives. If we actually, so we can see the God of peace showing up through our own flesh, through our own lives, and influencing people all around us. This is what peace does. This is where the God of peace shows up and actually influences not just things, not just circumstances, even people around us. And that's what we see here. Now go on, please.
Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Could it be that the reason why people are defiled around us, the reason why people are polluted around us, could it be that it's because the God of peace is not having room and opportunity to show up himself? So if you think we're not being materialistic here, we're not just limiting to circumstances, we're not just limiting to things, we're also saying it also affects what? People. It could be the reason why people are bitter or polluted and people have been defiled around us. It's because the God of peace is not being given the opportunity to show up himself in our situation. And the God of peace wouldn't show up unless we have the peace of God. Can you see? Verse 7 of Philippians 4 says, and the peace of God shall guard your heart and mind. And verse 9 says, and the God of peace shall be with you. And that's what we see there.
Yeah, it's good that you brought that verse up, because verse 14 has been mostly generally misquoted and out of context. People have really interpreted it, but they feel like no man seeing the Lord, that you will not even get to see God in your situation.
Well, it means nobody will make it.
Some have even actually interpreted it that you may not be able to make it to heaven, you will not be able to see God, and that you will not see God there because of this. But if they are not being mischievous, if they are just really being diligent, even from the verse, that's what he said. He was talking about following peace with all men. If they're going to look at it in context, that is the thing. Nobody giving an extraneous interpretation into this. It just be simple and just be honest. We don't want you to be dishonest, you know. Just looking at it, following peace with all men. He's talking about our relationship with men.
With men,
Even beyond those verses, verse 14, 15 was still talking about what if you don't get these things sorted, if you don't have a hold, a grip on this
thing. Others will be defiled.
There will be root of
among
people, and many be defiled.
Because they can't see the Lord. No man can see the Lord in you.
If you don't have a good grip on this, on this, and working on this piece, and this is about relationship, and this, if you are not in charge of this and see this, and make sure that you follow this, you follow peace, you follow holiness with men, then people will be defiled. No man will be able to see the Lord. People will be defiled and everything. So it's just calling us to just being honest. That's what I can say. Be honest with this verse. Be honest with the word of God. And no matter how, whether it does not suit
your
own interpretation, it does not suit your own personal philosophy, because some people are really comfortable with some things. And so they look for scriptures that suit it. And if they don't find scripture that suit it, they wrangle everyone to suit their own personal philosophy. But we are calling you to the honesty, to be honest with God's word, and see that 14 and 15 how it is. And that is, if you don't want to cause defilement, you don't want to take people off from the Lord.
They can't see the Lord. No man can see the Lord in you. That's what he's talking about.
We are calling you to that process of peace, so that the people will not be defiled. The root of bitterness, because if you don't have a good grip on it, that the root of bitterness that defy many, and so you are cutting people off from the Lord. So that is we have gone a step further to tell you that about beyond peace being our instrument of defense and offense, beyond peace being the resultant effect of what happened in our environment, again, it influences people. This peace can, again, don't be selfish. That is what you're saying. Don't be selfish with your life. The reason why you need to have a good grip on what we're discussing about is, if you say like, oh, I don't care about what happens to me, about my circumstances, everything might go awry, and because I choose to live that way, and then let my circumstance reflect what is inside of me, I don't care. But what about others? Do you want to cut people off by your choice of lifestyle? And that is what you were saying. Hebrews 12 was saying, please don't do that. Don't let the root of bitterness spring up in you. Don't follow peace with all men. Follow peace with holiness with all men, so that you will not cut people off from the Lord. So you can see that this piece that we're talking about is multifaceted. You understand that there's something you have to know is the hammer. I hope you will not forget that. That's how we started from the Ephesians 6. It's an instrument of our defense. We must put this on all the time. We have that the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's part of our outfit. Because we see some people, this is what they should be concerned about. Those people are just concerned about should somebody dress like this or something. When we have the outfit in Ephesians chapter 6, they are not talking about that. If you are really about the dress police or any fashion police or what people should wear or cultural police, we should have the kingdom culture is this. This is what we should protect. This is what we should talk about. Mm. Do we have the outfit? Do we have our feet with this kind of peace? The peace of the Lord is a way of going about it. And we do understand that you have, like we share today, we do understand that you want God to show up in your situation. You want God to come and crush, because that's what some people want. They really understand that, they really know that they needed God to come into their situation to crush the works of the devil, to bruise the work of the devil. But we're telling you how it goes about. The New Testament way of going about it is about when you are in peace, we have the peace of God. That is, you allow that your peace that is inside of you to come out and change.
Yeah, you have the peace of God, and the God of peace shall be with you.
We show up. So there are different ways of people going about it. People actually desire God of peace showing up.
No, you need the peace of God first.
But they go about it, you know, they feel they can pray it.
You can't pray it, sorry.
They feel like they can do some other things apart from this process. They feel like, okay, they really want, they understood the part that they needed the God of peace to come to crush. They understood the part. And so they are going about to say any other method to make the God of peace show up. Prayer, offering, they can outgive, do any other things to make God of peace to come and show up. Or they want to even crush it themselves and all those things. But we find out that today, the way to go about it is about having that peace of God in you, and let that peace reflect in your let it show forth in the creation, everything around you. Every of those things are in bondage with you. So let that peace of God that is in you come out and reflect and change what is around you. Then you see that God of peace. It's just so simple. It's really, really so simple. So today we are relieving you of unnecessary burden. We are relieving you of unnecessary task. So why putting this on yourself or going about it? The right way of going about it is about let that peace of God that we are talking about in Ephesians 6. You have this armor of the peace of God, and let it change your environment. Let it change that circumstance. Don't let that circumstance change you.
That's what anxiety. Anxiety is when circumstance is when dictating your state.
Yes, don't let it creep inside of you and change you, but you
are the one that
can change. And we have the evidence in Psalm chapter 1, we have the evidence in Genesis chapter 3, whichever way. It's either you allow that thing to change your environment and things start blossoming, or you allow the cause of the you allow your insight to go to the environment and causing the cause on the ground like Adam. Yeah. So the choice is actually yours. And again, we are being encouraged today not to be selfish, so that we're not cut people off from the Lord. This peace is beyond you. So you have to stand in for the other people around so that they will not cut people. You follow this piece of. I hope you, I don't know, we cannot over stress this and emphasize this. So I just hope that you've gotten what we're sharing this morning. Mm-hmm. And should you have any questions or any clarification?
Okay.
Yes, on this aspect. Oh, we are not through
with this. Yeah, we're not through that with that. Yeah, we still have one or two things to actually share, maybe like 5 minutes as a random. Viewers, let's just go quickly to Romans chapter 12, from verse 17. I'll read that quickly. Yes. It says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Mm-hmm. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible," one says, "as much as it lies within your side." I mean, if you check some other translations, it says, "as much as it lies on your angle, on your side." Can you see? Live peaceably with all men. Now, it means, see, that statement is something we want to make sure we make before we leave today. Is to say, well, it says, do that which is within your own power. It says, the peace of God is what you can have. You might not be able to deal with the circumstance. The circumstance might be way beyond your own jurisdiction, but something is within your jurisdiction, the peace of God.
Yeah.
You can do that. You can have that. And Philippians 4, 6 tells us the specific steps on how to take, things to take to actually have that peace of God. It says, listen, it says you can do something. You can have the peace of God. Now see what it says. And it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. He says, why are you stressed out about life trying to solve the situation? He says, but rather, give place to wrath. Give room for the God of peace. Can you see? So it means the reason mostly why the God of peace is not showing up to crush things, he's not being given the place. He said, give place. That's why, again, we repeat. He says, Philippians 4, 6 says, if you have the peace of God, that's verse 6. Verse 7 says, you think and, you know, act and think on this good report and think on these things. It says, and you, things that you learned of me and you what? These are the things that you do. He says, and the God of peace shall be with you. So here he says, give room for the God of peace to show up. Give room for him. And he says, what's the next thing he says then? For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I'm the God of peace. I will show up. But give place for me. Give room. Because it says, give place for him. And it says, if you look at the next verse, it says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. And all that. It's simply saying, you can cause a change in somebody else's life. You can create changes in your environment. But it says, you need to give place to the God of peace to show up. Because ultimately, what's around you will reflect what is. If you're confused, confusion will carry on around you. But if you are at peace, your environment will come under the influence of the God of peace. And as we close, let me close with what Jesus said when he was rebuking the wind. Have you noticed when they were going to the other side, when he told disciples, let's go over to what? The other side. And the Bible says, when they said, cannot that we perish, Jesus made a statement. I want you to watch the strategy of Jesus. The Bible says he rebuked the wind and he spoke to the sea. It's a peace. Be still. Yeah, it's going to be Christians, we rebook this and rebook that, and we cast down this one, we destroy that one. But if you do, it's irrelevant what you do if the sea itself is not in peace. What happens is, even if the wind is gone, the sea will still be confused. This is why it's a strategy of the Spirit. That what is much more important is that we understand that it's one thing to rebook the wind, it's a whole different thing for peace to be within the sea. And that's why Christ did both, not one or the other. He rebuked the wind, but he also spoke to the sea, because the sea needs to listen as well, that he has to be at peace. If not, he'll be susceptible to whatever the enemy is bringing.
So today, in conclusion, we are saying, make peace for God. Make peace for God.
Make room for the God of peace to show up. Make room by you being at peace. Yeah, that's it.
By you understanding what we're sharing today and walking in it, so you make
give
room
place
for God.
To the God of peace.
So to come into situations, to come to people's life too, so you make room for yourself and for others. So if you are blessed by this, we want to say thank you for joining us today, and we'll pray that, we hope that you are going to make room for the God of peace
as you by go you about being this at peace.
Week, as you go about this week. We want you to show the understanding that you understand what we're sharing today. So you can hit us back with your comments, questions, clarification, and you can share this. We would like you to share it. We would like you to go to our page to follow, not even to view first, and follow and share, and invite this and share this with your other contact. For those that are asking for downloads, MP3, I think we are working on it. We trust the Lord that we'll be able to give it to, we'll be able to serve it on every plate, on every way the people want to have this message. So we'll see you next week, Saturday, 7 p.m. UK time, as we continue this series. We want to say, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord,
so walk in him. Amen.
Bye.
Bye.